My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Recording.
That's so ironic. I'm recording.
Isn't it ironic?
Yes, it is.
It's like rain on your wedding day. It's a free ride when you're already paid.
That was flat.
It's
on my
good
end.
Advice that you just couldn't take. And who'd have thought
it figures? Mr. Play It Safe. Didn't like to fly. Hello. Oh, I guess that's our cold open. We're not able to introduce ourselves yet.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Welcome to the COD.
What? The COD?
I was going to say the COD.
The COD.
Welcome to the COD past. My name is Ian Allrod, and I'm a Gleek.
My name is Lena Codpaster, and I'm a Gleek.
Today,
do you get it? You didn't laugh as much as I wanted to. That was better. Thank you.
Today, we're talking about the Glee Project Season 2. We're talking about the episodes Fearlessness and Theatricality, episodes 5 and 6, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Well, are they?
And 7, I believe. Yeah, episodes 6 and 7. If you want to watch these episodes, allegedly they can be found on our subreddit. Rumor has it, we can neither confirm nor deny, r/recoveringgleek, on a post that essentially says, like, Glee Project Season 2 links.
I've heard a rumor.
Also, I heard a rumor that they could be found on our Discord under the general tab under pinned comments. Also, I heard a rumor that you all love this podcast and you rated and reviewed it on
I heard
podcast.
A rumor that also you guys have all watched Umbrella Academy and kind of get what we're saying.
And get the joke.
Get the joke. Do you guys watch Umbrella Academy? That was the space for them to respond. Welcome to our Umbrella Academy podcast.
Oh, COD Past.
COD Past. Well, this is your podcast about Fearlessness and Theatricality.
Yes.
Do we have anything else to talk about before we start?
No.
No? Okay, cool. Then let me give you some little, Glee Project facts.
Yeah, like a little recap.
Recaps. Okay, so, first episode. Head First Fearless. Fearlessness.
Fearless by Taylor Swift is the first episode.
Yeah. Head First Fearless. So that episode came out July 10th. The guest mentor is Jane Lynch, and the homework assignment that week is Now That We Found Love by Heavy D and the Boys, and the winner is Lily Mae, and then the big assignment is Hit Me With Your Best Shot / One Way or Another by Pat Benatar / Blondie, respectively, and then the bottom three ends up being Eileen, Charlie, and Nelly, and then Charlie goes home.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah. So that's the little, what's like the drama of that episode? Drama of that episode is Charlene.
There's a lot of Charlene.
Lots of Charlene. They kiss.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh.
This is like Charlene comes to a head. Up to this point, it has been very much like Charlie really likes
Eileen. The pimple of Charlene comes to a head and they kiss.
What?
The pimple of Charlene comes to a head. Yeah.
But Charlie's been like very into it and Eileen's been kind of like, I'm just flirting for Charlie with Charlie for fun.
Yeah.
And then this episode, Eileen starts to be like, I think like Charlie might be my boyfriend. And then they like get very, like, they had a conversation a few episodes ago where Charlie is like, this relationship is distracting me too much. Like, we got to be professional. And now like they have completely given up on that. Mm-hmm. They're like more committed to each other than ever.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it bites them in the butt and they both end up in the bottom three. And then Charlie goes home. But it's so funny when Charlie goes home. It is like so emotional. It is so emotional, soap baby.
Like sobbing, making out. It is crazy.
Like crying, kissing each other. He gives her a speech where he is like, I want you to like stay focused. He's like,
go out there and win it.
Yeah, like giving Eileen a little pep talk. Mm-hmm. And then when it cuts to keep holding on, whenever it shows, because every time, for those who are new, anytime anyone goes home, they sing Keep Holding On, and then like everyone else sings backup. And every time it shows the rest of the contender singing backup, it keeps doing a close-up of Eileen's face.
It is. Honestly, I felt bad because it was like they obviously filmed it. I don't know when they filmed it, but like, you know, maybe a day or so after he left. But like, she's Eileen is in it to win it. Obviously, she really likes Charlie, but she's like not sobbing in this. Like, there's nothing you could say. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I honestly feel kind of bad for her that they keep like putting the camera towards her, because just let the girl play the game, you know?
Yeah.
This part where Charlie and Eileen are sitting on the bed and he's like, maybe we can like, I don't know, snuggle later on tonight and talk about it. And I was like, that's how I know they're boning. That's how I know they're boning.
Anyway. I sincerely hope no one was boning on that campus.
Oh,
Charlene did become an official couple.
Oh, did they? Oh, good to know.
They dated for like, because, you know, like, it was filmed before it aired. I don't know when it was filmed, but they dated until March of 2013.
Okay.
So, like, the better part of a year.
Honestly, good for them.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's longer than I was expecting for them. Like, nothing to say about them. Yeah,
I
thought it'd
be, like, I don't know, a month in the real world. It's a situationship
we don't know, you know. I've heard of a lot of, like, you know, couples from showmances like last a minute.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, Charlene was really in it to win it for a few months. So good for them.
Good for them.
All right. You ready to like get into the nitty gritty of this episode?
Yeah. What is Charlie? Well, are you going to tell us what Charlie's doing afterwards?
I was just going to wait until the end.
Oh, yes. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
I don't know how this podcast works, you guys. Yeah. Let's talk about it.
Okay. First up, homework assignment. We got Now We Found Love, which like the, so theme of the week is fearlessness, obviously. Mm-hmm. How that was shown in the homework assignment is it's a rap song, and Robert Ulrich was like, none of you rap. Like, that's not a style of music any of you are comfortable with. So, like, you're really going to have to just tackle it and try your best.
Be fearless.
This was, I think, for me, my favorite homework assignment up to this point.
I was beaming watching it.
It was like, so fun.
So fun. Like, I think all of them were just like having so much fun, did the dance, were just being silly, but also like trying their best. And all of the dance was so good.
It was like weirdly complex considering that they choreographed it themselves.
I know, like when they were all getting down and like one person would pop up and then they all had like a kick move. It was so cool. I agree. I think it's my favorite homework assignment I think I've ever seen. It was so fun.
It was. And you could tell that they all like really took it, the theme, to heart.
Yeah.
Where all of them were like, this sounds so stupid, but they're all like, let's be fearless.
Yeah.
Like, let's not be embarrassed about anything. Mm-hmm. We're just going to give it our all.
Yes.
And they look like they're having the absolute best time. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. It also starts like so wild. It starts with all of them backs to Jane Lynch and Robert Ulrich. They all bend over. Charlie runs down the line and slaps everyone's butt. And then they start singing.
It was so funny. And like, I can't even explain how much I loved this number. And watching Jane Lynch, also Jane Lynch being there, but watching Jane Lynch just smile and laugh with them, so like the most joy I have ever, ever seen on this show. It was so fun.
It was great.
Oh, what an uplifting time.
Also, there's a moment where Nelly super doesn't know the words and just instead of rapping is like, just kind of like mumbles into the microphone.
Honestly, it's the best. I had never heard this song before.
I hadn't either, and I love it.
I know. I was like, should I download the Glee Project cast version? I loved it. It was so fun. Also, Jane Lynch there. Listen, we've had some star-studded guest stars recently, like Liam Schell, Corey Monteith, freaking Naya Rivera. Mm-hmm. The way these kids lose their fucking minds when Jane Lynch walks in the room brought me more joy than I've ever felt in my entire life. It was so awesome. Oh my gosh. And then also, She made me cry. I genuinely cried watching this show because she was saying something like how she was 49 when she got Glee, and she was like, and before that you could call it 49 years of failure, and then I went into improv, and improv is like, you know, failing all the time. And she said something along the lines of, anything you feel fear about turns out to be the best thing in your life. And the way she said that, and me just like, I don't know, sitting in my New York apartment being scared sometimes, I was like, she's right. I had to pause the show to finish crying. I love Jane Lynch. She's so awesome.
Seriously, if I was Lily Mae, I would have crapped my pants winning this one.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of like everyone who was on Glee.
Certainly.
But like, I'm sorry. Jane Lynch is on another level than the rest of this cast.
Totally.
And she also just seems like such an incredible human. Holy cow. To have like a one-on-one session with her would be the most amazing thing ever.
I know. And like, Lily asks her like, I think a really smart question that's like, what do you do when you're in the background? Like, and then Jane gives her like very good, like character building advice. I would just be so appreciative because like, she's got like, you know, Lea Michele's been in the business since like, I don't know, 2002.
Yeah. She's been in for like over a decade.
Totally.
Yeah.
But like Jane Lynch.
Yeah. And especially
she was in
like,
Best of Show.
I also feel like there's something to learn from every single person.
Oh, absolutely.
I think that Jane Lynch has such an, like, something that none of these other guest judges can bring. Because they can all be like, you know, Leah has a lot of experience performing, but Jane Lynch has the experience of, like, rejection after rejection after rejection after your career not working out how you anticipated, and just, like, still going and finding joy in the journey and finding things you're passionate about. Because like truly, if you look at Jane Lynch's career, she would be like, before Glee, she would have like one or two episodes in a show.
Yeah.
She was like in The Sleepover. She had like a small role in 40-Year-Old Virgin. She was in like a few Christopher Guest movies. Like she was in nothing big and mainstream. Yeah. And I just think
Glee was the biggest thing ever, you know?
Yeah. And then she like won an Emmy for it and went on to like host a bunch of game shows because everyone loved her. I just think she would have such fascinating advice to give you. Oh my gosh.
I know. And I can't even imagine what like the rest of that conversation was like, because they only could put in like what was relevant, and what was relevant to the time was like, you know, how to make a character, you know, and how to like have, you know, an opinion and all of that kind of stuff. But I wonder like what the rest of their conversation was like with all of these people, truly, but Jane Lynch especially.
Also just knowing that Jane Lynch picked me as the winner, I would carry that with me for the rest of my life.
Forever.
I'd be like, nothing can take me down. No. Jane Lynch told me I was a winner.
Yeah.
She picked me above everyone else.
Totally. Oh my gosh. It was just like, yeah, I loved it. And like, she had obviously the main piece of advice all these kids are getting is like, be yourself and be brave, and you know, and that kind of gets like, you know, on and on. But like, I don't know, the way she was saying it, I was like, oh, I felt that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it felt like she really knew what she was talking about, instead of just like, shoot, I don't know, here's like some generic advice.
Yeah, totally. And like for Michael, she gave him a challenge, which I thought was super cool. Like, I challenge you to like do something like, you felt like you were falling back. I challenge you to do more than you think you're doing, you know? And I thought that was like such good advice and such good, like if a teacher said that to me, like just challenged me with something, I'd be like, oh, so much to learn. So I just love,
Jane
I love
Lynch
Jane
her
Lynch.
Wisdom.
Seriously. Sobbing. Love her for real.
All right. Do you have any other homework assignment thoughts?
I don't think so. Other than I love them all.
It's incredible.
I could go on and on and like point out different moments, but it's all gold, the whole thing. Even Nelly forgetting her lyrics. Love.
So now moving on to the music video. So for the Fearless music video, they're singing Fearless by Taylor Swift. Just kidding. They're doing One Way or Another / Meet With Your Best Shot mashup. The idea is it takes place at like the McKinley High swimming pool,
swim team sucks.
Does the Midwest just like have a lot of swimming pools in their high schools?
I don't think so. I've never truly been. I've been to the Midwest a handful of times, never to a high school. So I don't know. I guess I did have a swim team in school.
I guess McKinley's like whole bag though is that they're a sports school, so I guess that does kind of make sense.
Okay.
But anyways, yes, like Lena said, Rick the Stick himself is in the music video, and it starts out with him walking by them and going, "Swim team sucks."
I know, they keep having these cameos that I'm very excited about, like, but they're
show
not.
Them meet that
I know,
actor. I was like,
that's Rick the Stick Nielsen.
Like, come on. So they're all the swim team, and Rick the Stick says swim team sucks. He slushies Eileen, and then they're like, you know what? Who cares what they think? Like, we're the best. Let's all slushy each other, which is also a weird way to cope. Because can you imagine if like we were hanging out and someone was like, podcasters, codpasters suck, and they punched you? And then we were like, you know what? To stand up to you, we're not going to punch each other. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not...
Yeah.
That's not helpful.
I know. I can't even, like, wrap my head around, like, taking the power back, but it's also, like, slushing is not fun.
No, like, we have slushied each other. It's awful.
I would do it again for cash.
I would do it again. Yeah. Just to do it again. But
it's pretty fun, but it's also, like, not level. Fun. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't do it just, like, for fun, no, nothing to gain from it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So
like, I would do it for now for like a camera.
Yeah. Yes.
To promote my COD past.
So the swim team, the rest of the music video is just the swim team repeatedly slushing each other over and over and over again. And then like shots of them like singing underwater or like coming out of the pool. That's the whole bag. That's the idea behind the music video.
It is super fun though. I like this music video.
Oh, it's very fun. A lot of the drama is obviously the slushing, duh. But the another drama is they all have to be in their bathing suits.
Yes.
Which Nellie is very worried about. She's very self-conscious
about. They keep asking them all like very prodding questions. That it's like, how do you feel about being in a swimsuit, you guys? Like you can tell they have a few of them go in. Like it's Blake and it's Nellie and it's Michael go into, and Charlie, I think, go into like have a fitting for their swimsuits. And the way that they, like the people who are running that are like, how do you guys feel about being in a swimsuit? I would be like, that's kind of a weird question for you to ask me while I'm putting on a swimsuit. You know what I mean? But yeah, Nellie is very uncomfortable with it. And Nellie like has this moment where she talks to the rest of the crew and she's like, I'm just like, you know, really nervous and this is the Fearless this week. And it's like, I have to like pretend like, I don't know. It's just, it's a very sweet moment. But yeah, it's like the whole... be fearless, be in your skivvies.
This is something that I don't have an answer to. I just like, because you know, for a long time, acting as a profession was just kind of like, you're lucky to be an actor, so do whatever you're told.
Yeah, totally.
And recently there has been a lot of justified pushback against that. But like, I don't know where the like ethics of the pushback end. Because like, for example, you know, if I was auditioning for a play and I like knew what the play was and I knew like in this play, you're going to have to be in your underwear. And I went in and auditioned and I got the part. And then I was like, I'm not comfortable being in my underwear on stage. They'd be like, well, you knew. So why did you audition? But like for TV shows, like, they're not like, here's every single episode of the script that we're ever going to air.
And it's like, it's not like people at home are waiting for the episode that you're going to be in your swimsuit. They don't know what's going on.
And like, these swimsuits are like pretty modest swimsuits. Like, they are
they're
one pieces.
Team, yeah.
They're like swim team swimsuits. Yeah. So they're not like, ooh, the boys are in booty shorts. Like, it goes down to their knees and the girls are all in one pieces. But it's still, you know, like, it's very form fitting. And so it's hard because like, I can see the production team's standpoint where it's like, you have to be in a swimsuit for the scene. And like, you know, we're not giving you one that's too revealing. But then I also see like, as an actor, you're being told like, you have to be fearless. You have to put this on and you're like, not super comfortable.
Yeah,
with that.
That's a great point.
So I'm not saying like Nellie is correct and production team is wrong or like the production is correct, Nellie is wrong. I'm just like, this is a very complicated issue that I'm sure comes up all the time in television.
Yeah. I don't know. Cause I've thought about like, one of my dream roles as of late is the girl from Hair.
Mm-hmm. Cassie also, Levi's character?
Yes.
I don't know the character's name.
What? The easy to be hard one. Yeah. Yeah. Will they say her name? I don't remember, but you guys know. You'll be yelling at me, I'm sure. But like, to be in Hair, it is very like popular popularly known that like you have to be naked in it. And it's like, do I not want to do the show because of that? Is that like something that I don't want to do? And I've had to like, you know, obviously this is just me listening to the songs and saying it, being like, wow, I would sound great on this. But it's just me like theorizing about it. But it's like, I don't know. Yeah. That's such a hard question. And I think like they're framing this as Nelly is saying like that she's just like that she's insecure, and that's what it's being framed as, not necessarily like she is like, I think that's another hard thing, because it's like, are you insecure, or is this like a boundary of yours? Like, that's hard too, because it's like, if you're insecure, it's like you want to overcome that fear, but if like that's a hard boundary for you, that's hard too. And it's hard to tell, I think, with a lot of this. But you know, I think, I don't know, this is hard. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's
Just like such a messy thing with acting in general, because like people have boundaries and that's healthy and that's important.
Yes, absolutely.
But also like someone who has so many boundaries, you have to be like, and I'm not saying this is how Nelly is, but you know, if you had someone who was like, I don't like to be touched, not like I don't like to be touched here, but just like, I don't like to be touched, period. Be like, okay, maybe be a, do a different profession.
Yeah, well, I knew a girl in high school, I'm not going to say her name or the show, but she was cast in like the lead role of a show, and her, a big rule in her family is that they didn't kiss until they get they got married. And she got the lead role where she had to kiss like two people. So she, I think I heard she did like two weeks of rehearsals, and then like it, in order to tell that story, you needed to kiss, I guess. So she took a different role. Like she traded roles with someone in the cast. Because it was like, sometimes the boundaries are like, maybe this isn't the thing for you, but sometimes it's like, you know, you can make, I don't know, that's hard.
I just think.
But also, is that even what we're, what they're even saying right now, you know?
Yeah. It just made me think, because I was like,
much to think about for sure.
The show is obviously framing it as like Nelly is too self-conscious and she has to be fearless. Then I was like, but I can also see how this could be viewed as like they're pressuring Nelly to do stuff that is unethical.
Totally.
But then I can also see the production standpoint that it's like, this is like a modest swimming suit. And like there have been like, you know, last season they did We Found Love on Glee and they're all in swimming suits. Like, I'm sorry if you're not comfortable doing this, you're not going to be able to be on the show. It's just it's
lot to
a lot
about.
Of blurred lines.
Totally. And it's like, and sometimes, and I think, especially with TV, I can't even imagine. But I think with theater, it's all a bit more straightforward. So
yeah,
I don't really
like,
know. Yeah.
You know what the script is when
you
walk
read
in
the script.
Door.
Yeah, you're not going to audition for Noises Off and get the character who's in her underwear the entire time and that's integral to the plot.
Yeah.
And then be like, oh shoot, I didn't know that was a thing. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah, be like, that's kind of on you
that's
not a secret.
I want to play that part for sure. Oh my gosh.
I love that show.
Me too. Anyway, but it, you know, so I don't really know. And how does TV work like that, you know?
I don't know.
But it also is framed, at least in the Glee project, that it's an insecurity thing rather than a, like, you know, like, I want to be modest for my choice thing, you know?
And I do think it is true, because it keeps coming up for Nelly. I do think it is true that Nelly is self-conscious to a fault.
Yes.
That she is
I hear
very,
that. I hear that.
Yeah, no, I get. Well, there's a scene when they're filming the music video where she has to get out of the pool. And Eric is like, I just want it to be like slow motion and sexy. And I
Eric
literally was
keeps
like
saying things to these kids that he's like, just very sexy, very slow motion, very sexy, very Baywatch. Where I'm like, okay, Eric, let's not forget the setting here. We're in high school. Stop.
I was like, getting that note would be my worst nightmare.
I would be like, oh, I'm insecure now. Like, don't say that word around me.
but it also is like, you know, if you, in this music video, if you're so like self-conscious and in your head that you're not able to like emote and be part of the song,
yes,
like that's a problem.
Yeah. And yeah,
it's just, it's just a lot. On the other side,
yes,
this whole shoot and this whole episode, I was beaming so proud of Lily Mae.
I am her biggest fan.
She was like started from the bottom. Now we're here. Like she was in the bottom three like twice in a row. She kept getting feedback about how she was like too hard to work with. And it's just so great to see her have like taken that feedback to heart.
Totally.
And just be like glowing in this episode.
Oh my gosh.
They even say.
Yeah. Zach says, like, he's like, this is your video. Like, you are like the shining star of it. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no question. And I was like, oh yeah. Like, I was laughing during like the filming of mm-hmm. it when she had like beats and like, you know, like a whole thing worked out. It was so good. Yeah, she's so funny.
There's a scene because she does the, I don't know the words of the song, but like, it's the,
I will drive past your house.
Ba-da-da-da-da-da. And the swim team is all lined up and she has a hose and she's like hosing the slushies off them. And she kept doing it where she would be like hosing Shanna straight in the face and be like giving sexy eyes to the camera while she did it. And it's so funny.
Seriously.
Oh my gosh.
It was awesome. Like, she just kills it too. And I love Lily and I think she's so awesome. And I can tell sometimes like the questions they're being asked in their talking heads by the way they talk. And Lily, she has this moment where I can tell someone is like poking her and like trying to like see how she feels about being in a swimsuit. Cause like mm-hmm. she's plus size. So it's like, you must be insecure. And she's like, no, I'm not insecure. I'm excited. Like, I've done a lot of work to feel not insecure and I'm excited. And like mm-hmm. the whole time you can just tell she's having a blast. And I love her. She's so funny and she's so talented. Yeah. I just think Lily's the
she's the best.
A shining star in this episode for sure. She embodies, she is fearless. I like wrote in my notes, like, she is fearlessness. Like, I love her.
Another thing, this is something that I am against production on. They did it last season in Tenacity. They're doing it again here. I understand that, like, to be on Glee, you're going to be slushied. Mm-hmm. And so, like, these kids need to know how to take a slushie. Mm-hmm. But never on Glee are you slushy to this degree. No. It is, like, waterboarding.
Yeah. Like, the only time I could ever, like, maybe make an excuse that I've seen something like that is when Mr. Shu gets slushied by all the kids.
Yeah.
But I'm certain that they had changed the slushy concoction.
Well, we don't see that happen. The kid slushy the camera
and then
it cuts to Will already covered in slushy.
Exactly. So we don't even see him get slushy.
Yeah. And they have these kids stand against a wall one by one mm-hmm. and they all like lip sync to their track and they just have mm-hmm. the production team do slushy after slushy after slushy. Yeah. And it's like, how can they catch their breath?
Totally.
Like, getting slushied once is like, it's cold and it hurts.
Yeah.
But when you're slushied that many times, you can't breathe.
Totally.
And it's like, it makes me so uncomfortable that they keep having the kids do this. And they're like, well, this is just a part of Glee. That has never happened on the show.
No.
That we saw someone on camera get slushied like 7 times consecutively totally. So they couldn't breathe in between.
Totally. Like, we talked about this last time. When you get slushied on Glee, I feel like it's like a big to-do. Like, uh-huh. you're allowed to react to it. You're allowed to like feel the humiliation. You're allowed to feel the pain of getting mm-hmm. slushied. When you're like doing it to a Pat Benatar song, you kind of just have to like...
You have to like keep moving your
mouth. Yeah, totally. And it's like, you can't move your mouth. There's slushy in it. You got to eat it.
Yeah. And there's a very scary moment. Mm-hmm. Although I do want to say this one like isn't really on the production team.
No,
like,
no,
it's
no.
not their
and
fault.
Yeah.
But Allie gets slushied. The reason it's not really the production team's fault is because they weren't going to have Allie be slushied because, you know, since she's paralyzed from the waist down, mm-hmm. she's kind of trapped. Like, it's a hostage situation, essentially. She can't, like, get out of it if she needs to. But then Allie was very vocal about, like, no, I want to. Please, I really want to, like, be a part of it. So they're like, okay, fine, let's do it. And there's a very scary moment where they start slushing Allie. And for, like, 10 seconds, she's, like, giggling and singing. And then all of a sudden you see like her fight or flight kick mm-hmm, in and totally. She is like panicking. And I mean, Eric notices it right away and he calls cut and it stops, mm-hmm. but it goes to talking ahead of her. And she was like, my brain just kept going, I need this to stop. Yeah. And like, I couldn't catch my breath. And she is trying so hard to play it off like nothing's wrong, but she is clearly like starting to go into shock and is trying to like hold it off. And it is so scary. Yeah,
absolutely.
Oh my gosh.
I really appreciate the way the production team handled this one too, because they like as soon as you could tell she was done, like Eric noticed, like you said, and every single person, like people were in there to pick her up and get her out and get her to the pool and put like blankets around her to try and warm her up again. And like everyone around was like, you know, certainly feeling bad for her, but like mostly feeling bad that like that was the situation mm-hmm. for her. Like no one was blaming Allie. Yeah. And you know, I feel like last season, the slushying was maybe a little different, just the way it was like set up. You know what I mean? Like, they had to, like, obviously there's singing in this one, but there's more shots of them just being slushied and more things for them to do than just be slushied and having to, like, carry on. What am I saying here? But, like, yeah. It feels a little different than last season. Do you think?
I feel like last season's was worse.
Yeah, I agree. Yes, I agree. And, like, no one is blaming Allie for, like, not being able to take it. Like, last season, like, Cameron had to tap out. Like, it was just, like, a lot for them to handle. And then, you know, obviously Cameron and Allie are in two very separate situations. But, like, just the attitude of this season feels a little different.
And then they even have, when they're doing the callback list, they have Lily and Allie together are the first two called back. That they were like, you two were the best this week, like, you're called back.
And like you said, like, Allie is paralyzed. Like, her body is different than the other kids' bodies. And, like, her doing that was fearless. And her, like, knowing her own boundaries, that's a part of, I think, being fearless, too. I just think Allie's the best. Oh, I love her.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur einen Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
What do you think of the music video?
I love this music video. It is so fun. I just think it's like just a blast. Like, obviously the whole, like, oh, let's slushy each other for, like, the, you know, Rick the Stick Nielsen things were weird. Like, let's slushy each other.
Let's reclaim slushy. Yeah, it's like, that's not something you want to reclaim.
It's not the word slush.
You just want to, like, get rid of it.
It's just not. Let's get the slushy machine out of the pool. Why is it here?
Seriously. Why is who's it here? Drinking slushies in the pool?
I mean, I would love to drink a slushy at a pool right now. But, you know what I mean? I love this music video. I think it's very fun. I love all their underwater shots. I just think it's very cute. I even love, like, all of their slushy moments are in, like, a big montage, like, overcut with each other. It's just all very colorful, very exciting, very fun.
Yeah.
Lily obviously is this huge star. Also, they're very fearless for singing underwater. That's what I would be the most fearful about. No one batted an eye at that. They're all, like, opening their eyes underwater and, like, singing.
And, you, like, lip syncing and emoting underwater. Crazy.
I'm not a strong swimmer. That's not a secret. I'm not a strong swimmer. I'd be fearful about that.
Yeah.
Put me in a swimsuit. I'm not getting in the water.
Also, someone on this production team is a Blelly shipper.
Okay. Thank you for bringing that up. What the hell?
They are.
It's been like week three.
This is, 3 weeks in a row that they have and I mean, the first time it happened, it was a homework assignment. Mm-hmm. So it was like Blake and Nelly decided themselves to pair up. But Robert Ulrich saw that and he said, this is my OTP. He said,
that's the pair. Because then they made them
duet together. And then there's like a little romantic moment where they sing together in this music video too.
And in a Milkshake, they have a moment together
too. Oh my gosh, they do.
Uh-huh.
Yo.
I know. Which, like,
someone's playing matchmaker.
I know. Which is so funny because truly until this episode where Nelly has her like breakdown moment talking about her swimsuit, like, I don't think I have ever seen them interact.
Yeah.
Like, of course, we only see, like, maybe a couple, like, real life interactions between the kids, you know, an episode. But truly, I don't think those two are friends at all. Maybe they are, but, like, it's so weird. Like, no Charlene to be found, but those two get paired together constantly.
Yeah, I mean, the reason there's no Charlene to be found is because Charlie truly cannot keep it together. He is supposed to start the song, so, you know, swim team sucks, Rick the Stick, slushies Eileen, and then it's supposed to be Charlie looks at Eileen and he hands her a cup of water and sings, hit me with your best shot, and, like, starts the song. And he was just, like, so enthralled with Eileen that he cannot get the lip sync right.
Yeah.
Like, if you watch it, the video, he is, like, so offbeat.
Even in the video.
Yeah. Yeah, he is, like, super offbeat. He also ends up in the bottom three, and they tell him, they're like, it was just, like, you were kicking off the song, and you were, like, clearly so distracted, you, like, couldn't even tell the song was starting.
Totally.
That's why they have no Charlene in these videos.
Yeah.
Like, they cannot focus.
Which I hear that. But, oh. Yeah. What do you think about the music video? What are some of your favorite parts?
I thought it was fun. Yeah. I thought it was a great time. I still think the slushing is a little inhumane, but it was more humane than SS Baby.
Totally.
And Swim Team sucks. That's what I think.
Totally. Swim Team sucks. Also, where's Rick the Stick Nelson's
did he not have a mullet?
Business in the front, party in the back? No.
What?
He just had regular hair.
Out of it.
That's the thing is, I barely recognized him because he didn't have a mullet.
Come on, Rick the Stick.
I know.
Shoot. All right. So, bottom three. Ends up being Charlie, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie's being Charlie. Charlie is just very distracted. He was clearly too distracted with Eileen, wasn't giving a great performance in the music video. Mm-hmm. We got Eileen. Eileen, had a little, and maybe it's because of how it was edited. Mm-hmm. I had a little beef with what they said.
Yeah, I agree.
Which was, Eileen was like very giggly during the music video, which I understand that that's a problem, but it's like you need to focus. You can't just like keep laughing during takes.
Right.
But the incident they cite is, I have never seen someone get slushied and laugh. And I said, first of all, we slushied each other and we both laughed.
Literally, that's the thing. I was like, the minute I got a slushie in the face, I scream laughed.
And hear me out. If the problem was that they kept having to redo the take and she laughed every time, yes, that is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But the way they word it sounds like it was the first time they slushied her and she laughed. And I'm like, you cannot anticipate what that feels like.
Yeah.
You just react how your body reacts.
First time she ever,
And then in the music video, she doesn't laugh. So clearly they ended up getting a take where she didn't laugh.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, if, you know, she ruined a bunch of takes, I understand it. But the wording made it sound like it happened once and they were like, how dare you laugh at ice to the face?
I wonder if it's like, because these couple episodes are really good. Mm-hmm. Like in these two episodes, I was really like, wow, these kids are professionals. Mm-hmm. Like they really know what they're doing. They really like have not come to play. They're really like just in it to win it. And I get the sense that sometimes they're kind of like, they have to pick someone to be in the bottom. And especially when Eileen is in the bottom, like, where the hell is Eileen in the bottom? Yeah. Or it's just like, well, Eileen tripped up this one time, so let's put her in the bottom. Yeah. You know what I mean?
No, I feel that, frankly, I think the Glee Project Season 1 cast is the best. And
they're
I love them.
My angels. I love them.
I feel like, no offense to the Glee Project Season 1, I feel like this cast, on average, is like much more professional and like kind of more talented too.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, where did they find all of these kids? Like, because it was every time that I'd watch the Last Chance performances, I feel like in season one, there'd be like one person that I was like, that performance was incredible.
Yes.
And then the other two, I was like, it's kind of sloppy, but I mean, they didn't have a lot of time to prepare, so I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Both episodes this week, I was like, I don't know how you choose face who goes melting. Home, because every single Last Chance performance was a professional performance.
Like, especially this episode,
mm-hmm.
the three that are in the bottom this episode.
Yeah.
Like I was like, I don't even know because they all are like face meltingly amazing.
So
like they all just know what they do and they do it so well.
So bottom three, Eileen, Charlie and Nelly, because Nelly, it's her Achilles heel.
Yeah.
Nelly is always so self-conscious. She's so in her head.
It's so sad because last week during sexuality,
I know.
She had that breakthrough where she was like, I forgot to be insecure and I just had fun. Obviously, that is a lesson that like you have to learn so many times until it is like, you know, your default is to have fun.
Yeah.
I still don't even think I have that.
It was really, it's really hard for me to see Nelly keep getting put in the bottom three because I think she is so talented, but I don't disagree with the mentors.
Oh, I absolutely
agree. But I'm always like, you made the right decision, put her in the bottom.
But also, Nelly, that's my wife. Yeah.
So Eileen sings Take a Bow by Rihanna. Charlie sings It's Not Unusual by Tom Jones. Nelly sings If I Were a Boy by Beyonce. There's a very funny part where they give Charlie the song It's Not Unusual. And Charlie doesn't know what it is. And Eileen is like, oh, is that the song that goes? But instead of saying It's Not Unusual to be loved by anyone, she goes, it's not unusual to make love to anyone.
That's what also makes me think they boned. It's on the mind.
Charlene.
Charlene.
Dang.
Ooh. Said I used to want to think Charlie and I then bombed. Oh, no, for real. But also, how does he not know that song?
I mean, like, it was on Glee, but it's not like a... It's not like a core memory performance, you know? Sure. I can see watching Purple Piano Project and then forgetting that that song was in it.
Yeah,
and
no,
maybe
no.
Maybe he
like,
just didn't watch
I
a lot of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air growing up. I just said
that.
Fresh Prince.
I knew what you meant. That's the fun thing about English. Yeah. So I know what you mean.
Good.
But all three of these performances. Holy moly. Who goes first?
Eileen singing Take a Bow.
Oh, my God.
She's given you choices.
Oh,
she is
my God.
Acting.
I was like near tears. She is such an amazing performer, mm-hmm. like an amazing singer, a beautiful actress. Oh my God, Eileen.
No, I was truly like, this is how you take a pop song make it a musical theater song.
Yeah.
And it's not like she made it a musical theater song because she did that annoying thing where she's like,
yeah, you hate
I'm
that.
Gonna sing it like it's a musical theater song. Like she sang it like it was a pop song, but she was storytelling.
Yeah, totally. It
Holy
was
cow.
Like, it honestly took me aback when Ryan says something to her that was like, oh my God, like that was storytelling. I was like, I thought that was her like working through trauma. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it felt so real to mm-hmm. watch. Oh my gosh, it was amazing.
Ryan, I do think that Ryan tends to give these kids good advice. And especially this season, I feel like he has also been like had a lot more tact in
yeah,
how he talks
absolutely.
To the kids. He's like weirdly rough on Eileen this week.
Yeah.
He talks about how she laughed during the slushie and how he like, you know.
He's never seen anyone laugh yeah. and take a slushie and laugh.
Which I was
like, yes, you have.
Ryan Murphy, follow @recoveringgleek_podcast
I know.
On TikTok.
We've
done it.
I have video evidence, Ryan Murphy. Let me send it to you.
But then he says, which it is like this ends in a compliment.
Yes.
But he says like, when I see you like laughing on set and laughing in a slushie to the face, I don't root for you. And I was like, what's with Ryan Murphy and telling teen girls that he doesn't root for them?
That is so fucked up.
I know.
Like, what? Could you imagine 19-year-old you being like, I don't root for you? Devastating.
Rough. It's
Ow!
Terrible. And he ends it by being like, but like this performance yep. you just gave,
yep.
like that's the girl I want to root for. But I was like, you didn't have to tell her. Like, she just got iced in the face and her reaction to that is like pretty traumatic yeah. is that she giggled and you're like, that makes me not root for you.
Like, he obviously doesn't know anyone who like giggles at funerals, which like, don't hang out with me, Ryan Murphy.
For real.
I'm really
I am
up.
Very bad at dealing
yeah,
with trauma.
People think I have a sunny disposition. I'm actually just sobbing on the inside. Oh my gosh. No, for real. I agree. He like says some pretty tactful things and he says something to someone in this episode. Or maybe it's the next episode. Well, it's the next episode. But
okay, we'll get
you know.
It. Yeah.
Ryan Murphy.
So do you have more Eileen
next?
Thoughts?
Ooh, I love when Zach stands up and bows to her. Oh my gosh. Nope. But who's next?
All right. Up next, we got Charlie singing It's Not Unusual by Tom Jones.
Okay. So.
Tell me.
Charlie got in the bottom three. And I was like, this is his fourth time in a row
yes,
in the bottom three.
Right?
I was like, he
yeah.
has to go home.
Yeah.
Literally, why are you keeping
yeah.
him? He sang It's Not Unusual and I literally wrote, if
keep
they
him.
Keep him, I understand why. I was like,
no.
frankly, I can't deny I get it and I understand why they would keep him.
The way he performs this song and the way he performs every song, I can see how maybe like as a competitor, it would get kind of annoying to hear the way, because like Mario said something about him last week where he's like, well, you can't trust Charlie to like, you know, keep a song,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's always changed up things, but his mind just like finds new interesting ways to do things. It makes him such a dynamic, awesome performer.
Yeah.
The way he just jumps off the stage. And it's like, he belongs off this, like he just, like he does that. And I'm like, of course, what? Like, and then he goes and sits, he changes every word. And like, I could go on and on about this performance. I just think he is a genius.
Yeah, he is, not to say the theme of the week, a fearless performer.
Yes.
He is like so naturally charismatic. So he gets out there, he literally starts the song on the like, ba, ba, da. But he takes the mic, does a
yes!
low dive with it, starts singing.
Immediately off the bat. What the fuck?
Takes the mic, like, is dancing around the stage, stands up on the piano bench and dances. Then he runs off the stage, like Lena says, runs into the audience next to Nikki Anders and starts serenading her. And then the last verse he changes to, "It's not unusual to say that I could be on Glee, though it's been 4 weeks now in the bottom three. But Ryan, I am sure that you'll agree, it's not unusual to cry that I belong with you." And it is like, I was watching it and I was like, put him on the show.
I know.
Like, frankly, just put him on the show. I know. He's so good.
I said, Charlie, stop performing. You're in.
Dang it.
No, for real. It pisses me off. It really, and it makes me so sad too, that like the format of the show just isn't for Charlie. Mm-hmm. You know, like Charlie is an amazing performer and it sucks so bad to see him like struggle in the rest of the, like the, you know, in the homework and in the whatever, but watching him do his last chance performances, I'm like, oh my God, this person is amazing.
Yeah. He is so charismatic. It's insane.
He's an amazing performer. Oh my gosh. I could go on and on.
Charlie was amazing.
Yeah.
And then Nelly gets up there. And I was like, well, shoot, I guess Nelly has to go home.
Yeah, right.
Because I was like, Eileen, frankly, shouldn't even be in the bottom.
No.
So like, and also like, she did amazing. Mistake. Like, I'm not denying she totally. Did amazing. So I was like, Eileen's safe. And
then but I was it's like, very clear that she's the one that they're like, we have to put someone in the bottom. Yeah. Let's put Eileen there.
Yeah. And then Charlie, I was like, that was the most incredible performance I've ever seen. Yeah. So I was like, I'm sorry, Nelly, I love you, girl. But like, by default, it's you.
Yeah.
And then she gives a performance of If I Were a Boy that makes all the mentors and myself cry.
Sobbing.
It's like, what's going on this week?
I know.
It is like, and they even say it to her that they're like, you're so hard to figure out because, like, you know, in the homework assignments and the music videos, like, you get so in your head and you have such a hard time and such a hard confidence. And then we have you do these performances. And Ryan even says that he's like, it's just frustrating to watch because you don't know you're a superstar.
Yeah. And, like, her performance is... her range in this song is like so absurd. She starts so low and then just belts this out. And I'm like, Nelly, you're the most amazing performer who's ever lived. But that's how I feel about all three of them. Mm-hmm. I couldn't remember who went home. I really couldn't.
It's like a super cash.
Yeah, totally. Oh,
it's crazy. I
like
think
sudden death. It felt like they were fighting for their lives up there.
Truly. I think, and as we already mentioned, it is Charlie who goes home. But I think that Zach Woodley makes a comment to Nelly that is like so prescient, mm-hmm. where he says to her, like Ryan asks Nelly, he says, do you want to be on this show? Do you want to be on Glee or do you just want to be a singer-songwriter? And Nelly is like, no, I promise I really want to be on Glee.
I think that's in the next episode.
Oh, well, sorry. That happens later. But this is in this episode. Zach Woodley says to her, he says, I just feel like we are asking you to be on Glee mm-hmm. instead of you fighting to be on mm-hmm. Glee. And like, honestly,
and Ryan goes, ding.
And like, honestly, that's how Nelly feels. Yeah. It's like, she is so incredibly, incredibly, incredibly talented. So they keep giving her second chances because she's so talented. And then consistently every week, she's like really in her head and seems like she doesn't want to be doing it and seems like she's uncomfortable with it. And it's just like, I understand that, like, you know, people have boundaries and there's stuff you're not comfortable with, there's stuff you don't want to do. But when it's happening every week, it feels like you just don't care and you don't want
to
be here. Because
they talk about how Nelly, she had to get out of the pool, sexy and slow motion, like, and then go to Blake because what's going on with Nelly
because
and Blake?
Because freaking the editors are like,
they're like, they're cute together.
Like,
it's like
I saw them sing Waiting for a Girl / Boy Like You.
Yeah. Honestly, it was awesome. They're great actors.
I saw Blake get in her face while she was beatboxing.
I saw her do a bend and snap and then Blake walk up to her. But like, you know, and Zach said something like, you took more takes than anyone just to get that take. Mm-hmm. And she's just like, I'm just insecure. And then Ryan says something also devastating to her. And just, I don't think necessarily devastating the things he says, but the way he says it, he's like, well, try acting like something you're not if you come back. So it's just so pointed, like, well, try acting if you come back. It just, the way he said it, I was like, oh my God. I was like, oof.
Hear me out, though.
Jeez. But good advice. Good advice. No, for real. And that's what I mean. Like, that is good advice. That is like, if you come back, act like you're not. Act like you're not embarrassed.
Every time I'm in a show where I have to do something that like makes me self-conscious, I literally have to be like, well, I'm going to play a character who could not care less what other people think. Mm-hmm. And that's how I get myself
absolutely
to do it.
I could count on like, I have a million times I've been like, just this summer, like Lena wouldn't do this, Edith would. Mm-hmm. Lena wouldn't do this, Luce would. I'm not Lena.
Which is why I will sing anything on stage where I'm playing a character. Mm-hmm. But if you ask me just like a regular day, sing something for me, I'll be like, over my dead body.
Yeah, literally.
Because Ian is cares way too much about what you think. Totally. Whereas like if I'm playing a character on stage, whatever.
No, totally. Lena has care too much disease too. But the characters I play don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. This episode is crazy. I love this episode. Bangers, bangers, bangers only.
Yeah.
But Charlie ends up going home.
Yes. One thing I did know, and he and Eileen have very tearful goodbye. One thing I like have noticed it, but I really noticed it this time. When the mentors are deliberating, I wonder if the producers, and I think they probably do, specifically instruct them, do not use anyone's names because we don't want to spoil who goes home. Mm. Because the way they talk about these kids, I'm like, you wouldn't talk about them this way. It just like shows them looking at a binder full of pictures.
What about this one? What about this one?
Yeah, they're like, I liked this. That one did not really impress me. Instead of like, I really liked the song that Nelly did. Like, they just speak in this and that's the whole time. Yeah. And I wonder if that's a hard rule.
I'm sure. I'm sure it is.
You cannot use their names or you cannot use gendered pronouns. It has to be this and that.
Yeah. You have to fully objectify them to talk about them. Oh, I think that that must be a hard and fast rule because I remember in like the casting special, Ryan Murphy is like, I like this. I gave you that. Let me have this, you know, I don't like it, but I see why they do it because the drama, the tension that it adds like to like cut interchange them saying, I don't like this. Like I'm sending that one home
to the kids like crying.
I always love those like green room cry sessions. I think they're sweet. They're obviously very sad, but pretty sweet. You know, Charlie goes home. They have a tearful goodbye. They make out. I can't do it. I had to close my eyes. It was a lot of kissing.
So nowadays, Charlie goes by Charlie Moon. He is a musician.
Cool.
He's, you know, just doing the music thing. He's releasing music. He's like playing at like big concert music events, all that stuff.
Awesome.
Also, fun fact about Charlie, he is Damien McGinty's second cousin.
What?
Keeping it in the family with the Glee project.
Why didn't they tell us?
I mean, like, that's not important, but wild.
They told us about Marissa's sister.
That's true, just a cutter. I mean, someone's sibling and someone's, like, I have met my second cousins once in my life.
I couldn't even name a second cousin of mine.
Oh, I couldn't either. If they're listening, sorry.
Sorry, I don't know you. It's been a global pandemic for a long time. I haven't really been having a lot of family parties.
Truly. Well.
Well.
That's fearless.
Yeah. Head first, that's fearless. I don't know why, but with you I dance.
I think it's time for a Brock.
A Brock.
See you real soon.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
La 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 la. Hello everyone, welcome back.
Welcome back
to the Glee Project. We're now talking about episode 7?
Yeah, theatricality. Yes,
episode 7, theatricality.
So, this episode came out on July 17th, 2012. The guest mentor... Barry Allen.
That was a plot twist. A
huge plot twist. I had no idea. I was like, oh my God, Darren Criss again.
Seriously, Grant like, Gustin? Oh, so it's Darren Criss. They're like, and this, today's guest mentor is someone who got their start in musical theater.
And I was
and
like,
they
yeah.
show someone grabbing a warbler jacket, and I was like, here comes Darren.
I said, Jenny, that's in Canada. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
Anyway, Grant Gustin.
Baby John.
Baby John. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So the homework assignment song is, I hope I get it from a chorus line. The homework winner is Allie. The big music video is When I Grow Up by the Pussycat Dolls.
La, 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 la. Mm-hmm. That was off pitch. Keep going.
Got it. And the bottom three ends up being Nelly, Lily, and Abraham. And then my girl Nelly is eliminated.
Shoot.
Dun, 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 dun. The big drama this episode is like Shanna's meat dress and also Nikki kind of making a comment to Abraham that, like, I think personally Abraham took it way better than she says he was taking it. And like, and Nikki Anders is a certified bitch. I love her, but I'll say it to her face. Like, she's just like kind of not kind sometimes. And she asks him in the booth, she's like, would you consider yourself androgynous? Because all of the kids that week are all assigned like different pop stars and rock stars. And he is assigned David Bowie, who is like very famously bisexual, very famously bisexual, very famously androgynous. Thank you. And Nikki is like, would you consider yourself androgynous? And then what I think is like a pretty okay response to this is Abraham goes, well, I consider myself free. And then Nikki goes, oh, come on. And then that lands him in the bottom. And then Abraham opens up, and this has been like a thing with Abraham. Like, we know this about him. People used to like really tease him for being feminine growing up. They've been really honing in on these last couple of weeks of like Abraham being very masculine and like really praising him for being masculine. And then to have Nikki say this to him and then have Abraham kind of retreat and be like, that kind of took me aback when you said that and made me like relive some trauma. And then him get in trouble for it, I was pissed about. So that's the drama.
Yeah, they have no sympathy about it.
No!
And then after she asks if he's androgynous in the booth and it clearly like makes him uncomfortable.
Pokes at his heart.
She then is like very rude about his singing. He's singing and she goes, ugh, no, where's the beat? And then he leaves and she turns to her assistant and goes, I wrote it down. She goes, it's actually, why can't he answer that question? And then her sister goes, yeah, it's actually not a hard question.
Which, like, okay, you don't know shit about Abraham, you know? Like, yeah. What do you know? Like, a question that is hard to you might not be hard to me, and a question that's hard to me might not be hard to you. Hello, Nikki. Have some compassion.
And it's, like, clearly, like, in Nikki's mind, she was like, I'm trying to make him like see this thing about him that could make him special. Cause then in the bottom three, she says like, well, you know, a lot of like the most famous rock stars were androgynous,
totally.
Like David Bowie and Mick Jagger. And she like lists all these names, but like, she is so not empathetic in the way she treats it, where she's just like, essentially she's like, why are you getting it? Why is this making you uncomfortable? Like, why are you being offended by this? When he's very open about the fact that, like, I was bullied for being feminine growing up, and that is, like, bringing back those memories. And she's essentially like, well, suck it up.
Yeah, and she's like, well, rock stars are feminine. Rock stars are androgynous. And it's like, that's fully, like, try telling that to, like, a fourth grader that, like, well, David Bowie's androgynous. Like, they don't give a shit. They're going to bully you. You know what I mean? So I just, like, the way that she equates, like, you know, there is power in, like, getting older and realizing that, like, you know what I mean? But I'm like, he's got trauma. Leave him alone.
It's got a lot of the same energy as finding a kid who, you know, like maybe they're a boy and they're a little more feminine, or maybe they're a girl and they're a little more butch, and being like, oh, I bet money that that kid's going to grow up to be gay.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, you're not saying that, like, it's bad if they grow up to be gay.
Yeah.
And, like, maybe they will grow up to be gay. I mean, like, plenty of people said that about me. But it's, like, you are just, like, putting this label on this person who it's their job to put that label on themselves.
Totally.
Like, you are taking that freedom away from them. And you're just assigning, like, you're giving them no permission to figure stuff out for themselves.
Absolutely.
And, like, figure out what is comfortable for themselves. You're just being like, well, me as a person who, like, barely knows you, this is what you are. So you might as well just accept it now.
Totally. And, like, I think 2012 was a fully, I think, different time, which I think is a problematic phrase in general, but like, I feel like I learn so much every day about like the difference in like sex and gender expression mm-hmm. and like how sexuality is not even a part of any of that. You know what I mean? Where it's like, we're not having a nuanced conversation like that. We're just kind of sticking a label on someone who's not ready for it. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Where it's like, Nikki Anders, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Really makes me mad.
La, 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 la.
All that to be said, this music video is so fun. Should we talk about the homework assignment?
I was going to say, we get with
the, yeah, we jumped on that gun. We really jumped on that gun. But
first, before the homework assignment, yeah. though, last week we were begging for Michael to get a third personality trait besides likes math and is an overthinker, yeah. which, hear me out. The overthinking thing, I'm like, frankly, why do I relate to Michael more than anyone else in the show right now?
He's
got a line, not a line because it wasn't written for him, but he says something in a talking head in the last episode where he says, I'm not overthinking this one because if I do, then I will spiral and crash. And I was like, is that
relatable?
But this episode starts out with the talking head of Michael and he says, I would gnaw off my own left foot to win this competition. And I was like, third personality trait. Loves math, overthinker, would gnaw off his left foot to win this competition. Saw, loves the Saw movies, is Jigsaw.
You've never seen Saw? No, I think Michael is very funny. And the way that he says things, I'm like, oh, I love learning about this person. You know, and I think the whole math thing is like just a very good thing to like pinpoint where it's like, mm-hmm. it's very interesting to see all of these kids reduced to one trait of yep. theirs, you know? And especially Michael, it's like, he's so funny. He would gnaw off his own foot to win this. Let me see more of that, you know? I don't know. Should we talk about, God, I hope I get it. Yeah. I hope I get it. How'd you like this one?
So Fearlessness had like my favorite homework assignment of all time. This is for sure, no contest, my least favorite of
it
the season.
It is awful. It's and really no, bad. Frankly, I don't know how they could have made it better because like that song is a musical theater song that is so like in something.
Yeah, it's not a standalone piece.
No, not at all. And like to have them like just like
like step, kick, kick, step, I know. Leap, touch.
It took me back.
I was like, why are you? And then they're all like trying to do dance moves that like kind of fit it.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Also, did you notice my roommate Caden pointed this out to me? All of the girls are in like workout clothes, are in like, you know, leotards and tights and leggings and like little like ballet skirts. The boys are all in t-shirts and jeans.
I mean,
like what?
That's what. And, the boys wore to my high school dance rehearsals.
But listen, the girls this season, especially at this point, wiping the floor with the boys.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I mean, the mentors agree. We've gotten to the point where there's twice as many girls as boys. Mm-hmm.
Which, thank God, that was unheard of in
season one really could not do that.
Yeah, it was like, if you're a girl and you're in the bottom, you're going home.
Yeah.
I'm glad they're you know, yeah. Not doing that. So yeah, it's so Ako Taco. Like there's this moment where Abraham steps forward and he's like, God, I think I blew it. And it's like, how do you act? You know, how do you act in this one? It's like, I don't know which person you are in the line. I don't know. You know, it's like.
It's also just like, even if you're acting it well, like you said, this number does not work outside of a chorus line.
Yeah, totally.
Like what I did for love works great.
Yes.
Nothing works great. Like there's plenty of songs. Sing works great. God, I hope I get it.
Is not
truly only works when it's a bunch of dancers doing an audition.
What else do you think they could have done? Let's make a whole list.
Anything for theatricality? Like truly any group musical theater song besides this.
I know. Good News, She's Dead, The Wicked of the West, The Witch of the West is Dead, The Wickedest Witch There Ever Was, The Enemy of All of Us Here in Oz is dead. That would have been way better.
I mean, if we're doing a chorus line, they could have done one.
Yeah, like, but that one's more of like a dance one. But even this one is like very famous for the...
I would say one is less dance than this.
Sure, but like it's such an odd choice. Like, who picked it?
Yeah.
Nikki? Probably. She's on my show this week.
And it's just like so awkward and weird. There's a moment where, because it's like, look at all the people, wanna add all the people. And Abraham does a little like turn of his head to the burner. It's so dumb.
It's so dumb.
And these kids, truly to their credit, are giving it their all.
And they're doing what they can.
Mm-hmm. And like they're doing a good job with what they're given. There's a moment when Lily does the, she does the, oh, I think I got it.
I really got it.
I knew he liked me all along. And she's like owning it and is very funny, yeah, and like makes Robert and Grant laugh. So like they have moments that work, but as an overall piece, it feels like that clip of the show choir singing No Good Deed. When all the the entire show choir is doing synchronized movements, going
elikanamen,
it's like this doesn't fit.
Yeah, no,
this totally, style of totally performance,
and like musical theater just is, you know, pop songs are so awesome because they can fit into a couple different scenarios because it's not necessarily like in a narrative. You can make them fit whatever narrative you want. Something that is like narrative first, song second, mm-hmm, is like hard to kind of put in like on a choir, you know? So I just think it's not fun.
So yeah.
Anyway, Lily kills it. Shanna O. Harper Gray, artist formerly known as Shanna, kills it.
Yeah.
First of all, Shanna is, I'll talk about Shanna later. Never mind. Lily obviously kills it. I just have so many good things to say about Shanna. But Lily kills it. Like, laugh out loud funny. She has the most amazing voice. She like totally gets the gist of what this song is. She also has a line that I think is a bit easier to like have no context for, mm-hmm, frankly. She kills it, you know? Yeah. Allie kills it.
Yeah, and Allie has finally found her calling after week of them being like, Allie, you're a little too much.
Yeah.
And like, then this week, finally,
her week, bitch.
Finally, Grant is like, this song is so weird. It only works if you are too much. So, Allie, you win.
So, Allie wins. Allie, you know, obviously kills it. And then, so we have, do we have more to say about the homework assignment?
I don't. It was just embarrassing.
Yeah, totally. And boys, wear some, like, at least Nelly was wearing some like basketball shorts.
At least.
I know, Nelly was wearing basketball shorts. My God. I was like, this, it's embarrassing. And just that physical representation, once my roommate mentioned it, I was like, ugh.
It also,
get
like,
out of here.
Is weirdly not choreographed enough and too choreographed. Because the deal with the song and a chorus line is in between every verse. They do the dance routine for the choreographer.
Should we do it now?
Absolutely not. I have never been able to do it even when I was in that class. But they do the dance routine for the choreographer. And then like while he and the director are talking, it's, you know, like their internal monologue. And it's supposed to be like dance, dance, dance. And then it's just them, you know, like stretching, mm-hmm, or like pacing. And it's all very like grounded and real. And this is their internal monologue. This one, they like cut out all the dance breaks. And then for the like internal monologue section, they're all like doing jazz squares around each other and like switching formations. Yeah. And it's all like way too choreographed for like what the lyrics are.
Yeah. It's a lot.
It's bad.
Yeah, that's all. And then Grant tells them who they're all going to be. That's another very exciting thing happens this week is they all get to be like embody a pop star or a rock star or someone cool. And so Michael gets to be Elvis. Eileen is Madonna. Abraham is David Bowie. Blake is Boy George. Lily is Cyndi Lauper. Allie is Katy Perry. Shanna, the way Grant Gustin Femme Fatale fucking laughs when he tells Shanna who she's gonna be. He goes, Shanna, Lady Gaga.
Lauren Bacall, get out of here.
No, literally, I was like, this is not your place. But he literally, Femme Fatale laughed, and I laughed my ass off. I also wrote down Lady Goo Goo because I thought you would think it was funny.
Hey, what's up, you guys? My name is Lady Goo Goo, and Lady Gaga has a restraining order against me. That's actually a rap on that character. That's all I could come up with for that character. That TikTok, I have watched it twice a day since it was released.
And then you made your own TikTok for it.
Yeah, and then I made my TikTok out.
And then Nelly gets to be Free Britney, Britney Spears.
Which, that was the big thing. Mm-hmm. Where that was, like, frankly, the straw that broke the camel's back with Nelly.
Yeah.
Where it was like,
you consistently every week are like, oh, what you've given me is a little too hard.
Yeah.
And then at this point, they assign you Britney Spears, and you're like, ooh, that's a little too much for me. And it's like, okay, Nelly, at this point, it just feels like maybe you can't be on this show.
Totally.
If you, like, are uncomfortable with all of with this everything. Stuff.
And, like, Nelly has this interaction with Robert where she's like, why do you always do this to me? And Robert like, brings that up in the, like, reveal of the bottom three. And he's like, you know, you really, like, walk in with a bad attitude. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't necessarily call her attitude bad, but walks in with the attitude of she can't do it and she's insecure.
Yeah.
And it's sad because I just think Nelly is the bomb. She's incredible.
Well, Robert says, I don't know if he says this to her or if he says it to one of the other mm-hmm. mentors. No. This fully was on her Glee Wiki page. Robert said about Nelly in an interview that she had his favorite voice in either season of the Glee Project.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Like, it's not that these mentors don't believe in her. Mm-hmm. It is that she does not believe in herself. Yeah. And like Zach says, he's like, it just gets to a point where it feels like we are asking you to stay instead of you asking us to stay.
Zach says something about her that I think is pretty illuminating, too, where he's like, I shouldn't have to convince you every week that you're a superstar. Mm-hmm. You are. And if you can't see that, you can't see that.
Yeah.
And that's a hard thing, too, about, like, you know, asking young people to, you know, be absolutely sure of themselves to go on TV and like inspire a character. Like that's hard. And that's a journey someone has to take. And it's hard. You can't expedite that just for TV. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that's like something people spend their entire lives and some people never, you know, get to that point. And that's, I don't know. That's hard.
Well, this is like pretty off topic, but I just remembered it. Stephanie J. Block, Broadway's own, the original Elphaba before Idina Menzel, everyone.
Put some respect on her name.
I was listening to an interview with her, which was very interesting because Stephanie J. Block is like exceptionally talented. Like she is a super, super, superstar.
Yeah.
And she did not, like her career didn't really take off until she was in her 30s. And she has been interviewed extensively about it.
I love her.
And when she talks about it, she's not like, oh, these casting directors just like, they didn't get it. She says, she's like, I think back to like when I moved to New York and I was like 25 and I was going into these audition rooms. And she was like, I didn't know who I was. She was like, I didn't
Will you send me this interview?
What?
Will you send me this interview?
Oh, yeah.
That all hit close
But she talks about, she's like, I did not have a strong enough self to like go in that room and show them what they needed to see.
Yeah.
And so I had to like get some years under my belt figuring out who I was before I was actually ready to like have success and like be seen. And I think that's just kind of what Nelly's working through is like she hasn't gone through that experience of like figuring herself out enough to be able to then go to another person and be like, and here's me and I'm confident in
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oy. It's a lot. And it's a lot for like, especially a competition for young people in this like format. It's a lot.
Also, I might as well just say it here. That interview with Stephanie J. Block is on the Sentimental Man podcast.
Oh, then I have listened to it. We listened to it together. Shout out to Sentimental Man. Oh my gosh.
So this music video, like Lena said, they're all assigned a different pop icon. The conceit is one of the Glee Project's favorite concepts. Mm. It is the third time they have done
it. And maybe one of my favorite concepts, too. I like it every time.
The conceit is regular person doing mundane thing, then has a fantasy about being famous.
Yeah.
You saw it and you loved it when in season one they were being bullied in the lunchroom and then they sang, we're not going to take it. Mm-hmm. You saw it and you loved it in the season two premiere when they were doing a performance for no one, and then it changed into Here I Go Again on My Own, and they were rock stars.
It's classic.
And now you see it again here where they're grocery clerks. What?
Honestly, I like it. New format.
No, I do love it because they're grocery clerks who then imagine themselves as these pop icons, but they're still in the grocery store.
There's so much fruit everywhere.
So we have all this fun stuff of like Abraham's big entrance as David Bowie is out of a freezer. Mm-hmm. So he like opens it and the fog from the freezer is like billowing around him.
Yeah.
And then there's a shot of Eileen as Madonna and she's got the cone boobs and she takes two cans of soda and opens them with her boobs.
It is amazing. It's inspired. And then we have like Shanna in like the meat dress in the meat aisle.
Like crawling over the counter.
Yes. And we have Allie, who is, yes, in a wheelchair in a freaking grocery cart. It is inspired.
Yeah.
This one.
This might be my favorite music video.
Yeah.
It's very, very, very good.
So fun. It's so fun.
Getting to the music video, we already talked about all the Abraham stuff. There is a little Eileen Lily drama in these two episodes.
Yes.
They're starting to get on each other's nerves. Eileen has a moment where, so I think, having like looked some stuff up, I think how they do the homework assignment is that someone is assigned every week to choreograph
it. Oh, okay.
And like, you know, people can have input, but it's like this person is in charge this week.
Sure.
And Lily is in charge this week of God, I hope I get it. And, you know, she tried her best. And it cuts to a talking head of Eileen. And Eileen is like, it's just really hard not having Charlie here. And the last thing I want is to listen to Lily yelling at all of us.
Yeah, totally. Which
Lily Eileen drama, baby.
I know. I listen, as a hashtag drama kid, I appreciate the drama.
Yeah.
But also I just don't buy that it's as prevalent as they say it is. Which is just funny, you know. Anyway. Who would you want to be?
Of like the people that were already selected. Yeah. I think you'd want to be David Bowie. I think that would be fun. David Bowie or Lady Gugu and Lady Gaga has a restraining order against me.
Who do you want to be? I think I would want to be Britney Spears. Mm-hmm. Especially, I love the Hit Me Baby One More Time outfit. And I love Britney Spears so much because I feel like Britney Spears is just a bundle of joy. Mm-hmm. So I think I would, I don't know, that's who I would want to be.
Yeah.
But also maybe Lady Gaga. Hey,
be who you want to be. B-A-R-B-I-E. Barbie girl.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
I have two questions about this music video. And
I thought you were just going to say questions for me.
I have just like, two questions about you. How are you? And they're both questions we don't have the answer to. So I'm just going to like pose them. One, do they have internet on the Glee Project campus?
I don't think so.
Because they keep faulting Lily Mae for like not doing a good enough impersonation of Cyndi Lauper. And if, you know, they were given resources to study their icon, I totally get that criticism. But if they're not and they like have no internet and they weren't like given videos, I'm like, well, shoot, maybe she doesn't know like what Cyndi Lauper does.
Totally. I was thinking the same thing because I was like, and she was saying like she just doesn't know what Cyndi Lauper's thing is. Mm-hmm. And then she was saying that she feels really similar to Cyndi Lauper, which I was like, you know.
She was like, because I'm a girl and I just want to have fun.
Yeah. Oh my God, I just put that together. Girls just want to have fun. Is that Cyndi Lauper?
Yeah, that's Cyndi Lauper.
Oh my God, I love my mind. But, you know, I don't think they have internet, which we can certainly... Maybe we can ask someone.
My other question is Shanna's meat dress real meat? Because I feel like...
Oh, I'm certain it is. She keeps talking about how much it stinks.
I know, but it could be made of something
else. And she asks if it's... They have her put it on in the fridge. She's sitting
like
in a fridge.
That's so... Why? Could they not have made a fake one? Like,
They want to torture her.
No, that's my point. I'm like, I think that's so screwed up. And there's a moment when Eric asks Shanna, he says, is that real meat? And the camera cuts away before Shanna can answer. And that makes me feel like another question that we can ask someone. That makes me wonder if it's not real meat. It's like something else that still smelled, but like wasn't raw meat, you know? But they want us to believe it is, so that's why they cut off Shanna answering. But like, yeah, she puts it on the freezer and she talks about how like as the shoot goes on, it smells worse and worse and worse.
It makes me like, think that it's real just because Zach is saying something like she's been wearing this for so long. She has a great attitude. I don't know that they would go on with that lie for so long because that also just feels like if we had decided that you were going to wear fake meat and that every other person was going to like go with the lie, that's just a win for you. You know what I mean? That's like kind of...
I don't think that like Zach was like, I'm going to pretend it's real meat. Mm-hmm. I think like whatever substitute it was still like hard to deal with. And the editors just decided. Yeah. No, genuinely. Mm-hmm. Have you never like worn a clothing piece that was like smelly and weird? Like, I wonder if it was like painted to look like meat and like the paint was smelly.
I don't know.
I just like genuinely want to believe that these producers didn't make her wear raw meat.
Because, you know, like hours
when
and hours.
Lady Gugu and Lady Gaga has a restraining order against her, decides to wear a meat dress. She decided to wear a meat dress.
Yeah.
But like Shannon did not decide that. And like that is.
But also, if they had Lady Gaga in a grocery store and didn't put her in the meat dress, that is the wrong thing to do.
No, but that's what I'm saying. That's why I hope it was different material that was made to look like meat.
Sure.
And I hope that's the case.
I hear where you're coming from, but also I think her like good attitude about it all makes me want to think it was real.
Yeah.
Just because like. I was like, oh my gosh, that's so terrible. I wouldn't even be able to touch
my face.
She probably didn't touch her face.
Oh my gosh. It's disgusting. Okay, on to the actual music video. But any other thoughts besides
that?
Holy
moly.
Absolutely incredible.
The dancing is sharp. It's clean. And the way, like, even like the boys on like the little like.
On the checkout counters. Yes, yeah.
It is the best I've ever seen any of them dance ever at all. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I was like, these are professionals, you know, like, and like, yeah, I'm sure these kids are like professionals, but like, no. They know exactly what they're doing. These are like people I would trust to cast on TV.
Yeah.
They're awesome.
I like, there are times when I watch this show where I'm like, is the Glee Project cast on average more talented than the Glee cast?
You said it last week, yeah.
Like, they're all doing such an absolutely incredible job at all the, like, at the singing and at the dancing and at everything. I'm like,
they're all the full package.
Some of these Glee cast members should be competing to get on the Glee Project because I don't think they would make
no,
it.
No, for real.
I won't name names, but...
It's amazing. I love this music video. One of my favorite parts of it. I do feel like the lens flares they're using in the music video are just like not the choice because it kind of is just distracting. They have this scene where like they're all in pairs and they're all walking down the aisles and like the camera's like switching back and forth. It's very exciting. And then the lens flares just ruin it for me. I'm like, ugh. But that's just an Eric problem I have, I think.
Yeah. Shoot,
but it's so good. Oh my gosh.
There's then a stinger of them back as grocery clerks, and then it pans over to Allie, and she has her Katy Perry wig on.
I love it.
Weird.
I love this music video. I think it is so fun. And what I was going to say about Harper Gray, the artist formerly known as Shanna, especially with the meat dress thing, let's theorize that what they're telling us is the truth. She is wearing this meat dress for hours, and she's probably sweating. She's dancing really hard.
Yeah.
It's probably 4 weeks. And she says that every time she moves, she wants to throw up, and her mouth is watering, and her eyes are watering. That's way too much detail to lie about.
Here's where I think you think. Do you think that I think that they were trying to pretend it was meat?
Yeah.
No. I think they were upfront about like this material the dress was made of was like gross and it like because you know if she was wearing
something... You think it's like Halloween store rubber.
Yeah, and it was like smelly, like you wear a rubber mask and like makes your eyes water.
No, totally.
I think the editors decided because the thing that makes me think it is Eric says is that dress made of real meat
and it cuts
and they cut off Shanna's response. I feel like she said no, it's made of blank, and I feel like everything they said was not them like lying. It was them talking about the material it's actually made of.
Sure.
And the editors realized that it could sound like meat.
You know.
So they just cut everything out. Because and I could absolutely be wrong. But like she is like sitting on stuff on the set. She is crawling across counters. They would have to be sanitizing all of it.
Yeah.
Like you can't just be
they
wiping.
Do put it on in a fridge though.
No, I understand that, but it could be like a weird other material.
No, and like I have put on Halloween masks and they've like stunk so bad that it makes me want to cry.
Just like it's so unsanitary.
I think that's half the reason I didn't love Halloween. Like
it would be such a like health risk for people to have them around that much raw meat, and she has to be like touching other stuff all the time for hours and hours and hours.
I wonder. I think that's either way. Let's even theorize that it's, you know, the, you know, Halloween rubber and it's gross and doesn't feel good and is like stinky and, you know, makes her sweaty. Like even a rubber dress that would probably would be so uncomfortable. Yeah. Like she has such a good attitude about it. She has like, she is so fucking talented. Mm-hmm. And it makes me sad because I think Harper Gray, artist formerly known as Shanna, is one of those people on this show especially where it's like, we're not really hearing a lot from her because she is doing so consistently well. It makes me sad because I see these moments and I'm like, God, she's so awesome. I want to hear her story.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So we get to the reveal of the bottom three. Bottom three, Abraham, Nelly, Lily. A very weird bottom three to me.
Yeah, okay.
Nelly makes a lot of sense. Yes. You know, Nelly once again was like, I can't do Britney. We see on the shoot, she's like kind of self-conscious, having a hard time.
Right.
It's just like Abraham is in the bottom three just because Nikki made a comment that was like traumatic for him.
Yes.
Because when they do the shoot, they compliment Abraham's performance as David Bowie. They're not like, oh, he was in his head. It seems like it was just his response to that question. I thought Michael was going to be in the bottom three because, as we know, he's an overthinker and he keeps overthinking in the booth.
Yeah.
And then Lily, I don't know. Lily does make sense if they were given resources and she just didn't like.
Yes. If she wasn't like, if she wasn't like prepared.
Yeah. Abraham's the big one to me where I'm like, this feels rude after you already made him uncomfortable and now you're punishing him for it.
Yeah.
But Nelly gets assigned I'm the Only One by Melissa Etheridge. Abraham gets assigned Stereo Hearts by Gym Class Heroes and Adam Levine. And Lily gets assigned Someone Like You by Adele.
I totally agree with you. This bottom three is weird.
Yeah.
This bottom three is weird. And it's one of those times that I certainly get the vibe that they all did a really good job in the music video. Because I see what they're kind of saying about Lily having fun as Lily and not necessarily having fun as Cyndi Lauper. But Abraham does an amazing job. And obviously we know Nelly has been struggling for a couple of weeks. This is not new with Nelly. But like, Abraham, what the hell?
I know.
What the hell?
It's dumb.
It is frankly hurtful like to watch because it's like, This is Nikki's fault. It's not his fault. And like, could you imagine being asked a question that brought up trauma for you and you not even knowing how to respond and responding in like, frankly, the best way you can. And then someone else answering back in a really pointed, sharp way. Mm-hmm. And then you getting in trouble for it. And it's like, how many times does Abraham have to like air out his trauma for them to get this through their heads, but they never do. No. I don't understand. It really makes me sad. I don't know. Okay, who goes first?
Nelly goes first. Not the Only One by Melissa Etheridge. Hear me out. She does a great job. Nelly always does a great job. This whole episode, and I didn't know that Nelly went home. This whole episode felt like Nelly's funeral march.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm so sorry. You are so, 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 so talented. Your days are numbered. And especially when Grant was like, you're going to be Britney Spears. And she had that reaction. Yes. I was like, you're going home this week.
No, absolutely.
You will keep doing the same thing and they keep correcting you on it. And then you keep going back to it.
Yeah. And frankly, I didn't like, this is coming from Nelly's wife. I didn't like Nelly's performance as Britney. Because like I said, I think of that era of Britney. And I think of someone who's like very sweet and charming, but just like breaking into like their like womanhood.
Yeah, she's like, she's not a girl. She's not yet a woman.
I'm so glad you understand. You're reading my mind. But that was like Britney Spears' whole damn thing. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that, and maybe I'm just like, I just love Britney Spears, but I'm like, why are, maybe there's just more things to deal with for Nelly. But Nelly, you know, in the music video is the most insecure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just see that the whole time.
Yeah.
And like, they ask her to like lean on the fruit and she's like wary of leaning on the fruit just physically, you know. And it becomes very apparent that like, this just maybe isn't the space for Nelly. Yeah. And they have this conversation with her where they're like, do you want to be on Glee or do you want to like have a music career? Because they're like, because it doesn't feel like, I don't know what, Ryan says something like, I don't know what character I would give you right now. And like we know, that's kind of the whole gag of this entire show is like, are you going to inspire me to write something for you? And, you know, that means so many different things in this show, but it's like, obviously Nelly is a great performer, but she's not doing the assignments to show that she could be on Glee.
Yeah.
It's really sad.
Yeah. Shoot.
Shoot.
Frankly, Abraham's performance, I don't have a single note. Because it's just like, he did a good job.
It's also like they gave him a duet to sing. What is with this? They keep giving people duets to sing.
I don't know. But yeah, he like does a good job. And then their notes back are just kind of like, we're emotional when you're asked this uncomfortable question. And he was like, yeah.
Yeah.
And then Ryan is nicer. Ryan tells him that like he's a superstar and he like sees it out of him.
And then there is also a moment with Abraham that I kind of appreciate, where the first time we meet Abraham, Abraham walks in and Abraham is like, I'm kind of the shit. And we see this exterior of Abraham where he's like very much giving like so much confidence outright that it comes across as kind of sharp. Mm-hmm. And then Ryan even says, like, drop the diva act for a second, like be yourself for a second. Mm-hmm. And then he gets very vulnerable with them, which I thought that was like kind of cool to see.
Yeah.
You know, because like that is immediately like the first thing we saw of Abraham. And the more we see of him, the more we like him. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Which I thought was cool. I was like, this is reality TV. I like.
And then finally we got Lily singing Someone Like You by Adele. I don't know why Lily got such harsh criticism from Ryan during this.
I am at a loss. I'm at a loss. Like, I don't understand why when she's in the bottom, Ryan, and maybe this is just like Lily, the way she comes across because she kind of fights back and she even says something like that. But like the way that Ryan wants to pick this girl apart is so wild to me. Like he should not be worried about her. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. It's also funny. And, you know, maybe Ryan did see this in the music video. But usually when each kid comes out, Zach or Robert will be like, hey, Ryan, here's who's up next and here's why they're in the bottom. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember who it is, but either Robert or Zach is like, Lily's up next. She was in the bottom because she wasn't really playing a character this week during the music video. She was just being herself. And then Ryan says to her, I was fascinated in that performance, as in her Last Chance performance, because I saw you portray character. I did not see that in the video this week. And I was like, did you,
Ryan? Just regurgitated what Robert said.
Are you just parroting the guy next to you?
Okay. I know. I was like, I believe that Ryan is watching the music videos. I don't believe he has, like, you know, that, like, insight that the other two do, you know? Yeah. He's just like, he's like, this is my original thought. Just like fondue for two.
And he's like, Robert, I'll give you a signed script of me saying thing. That I didn't see her play a character.
That's the whole thing. But, yeah, the way... I don't know. I don't like the way they talk to Lily. And maybe just because I feel protective over her. I don't know. But he just says things that are like devastating, you know? I don't know.
No, they were super harsh on her this week and it was bizarre to me.
Yeah. And it's like, we haven't been worried about Lily at all. Mm-hmm. And then she was in the bottom because you needed someone to be in the bottom and you needed to create drama. And then you make this girl cry? Get out of here. You know you're not sending her home. Leave her alone.
She is safe, though. Nelly gets sent home.
Yeah.
And I love Nelly. I can't say I blame them.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And like we said, the Glee Project is a very specific thing. And especially this season, they really know what they're going for. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, this just isn't the scene for Nelly. You know, and that doesn't mean anything about Nelly as like, you know, a performer. They love Nelly. And like you said, Robert thinks that she's like his favorite voice they've ever had, but it's not a singing competition.
Yeah.
It's a inspiration competition. Sure. Remember?
Yeah. Well, Nelly now, Nelly's might be my favorite. Where are they now?
Yes.
This is just random. Nelly and Michael, I don't know if they still do, but they started a band together and started a podcast together.
No, that's us.
I know we are Nelly and Michael. I love math. So Nelly still does music. She's still like, you know, singing, writing songs. She has a new single called Finish. But Nelly's like, that's kind of like her side hustle passion project. Her main job is she works as a model maker and set dresser for TV and film.
That's awesome.
And so like she's worked for Robot Chicken to like help dress their sets and like make, yeah, like make the scenery in the background. She worked on Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. There's a shot in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood where they're at a drive-in movie and they film like a car drive up to the drive-in movie and then the camera pans and you see the whole drive-in. That was all miniature models.
Oh, cool.
That Nelly was on the team making and like so making cool. a little remote control car to drive in.
That's awesome.
She also, there's like a YouTube series that is like on the official Star Wars YouTube channel called Star Wars Go Rogue. That's all like stop motion of Star Wars toys. She worked on that.
That's awesome.
She worked on like a Disney special called Stories Inspired by Beauty and the Beast, where it's all like puppets of the Beauty and the Beast characters. And she like helped make the puppets and helped puppeteer them. That's so fascinating.
The way so, I'm in love with her.
So she's,
oh my God.
She's doing model making. She's doing stop motion. She's doing set dressing. It's fascinating.
Listen, I don't watch Tarantino movies as a rule, but maybe I'll watch that one. Sure. At least that scene. That's so cool.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Nelly, we love you, girl. We love you. Holy moly, that's so cool. Thanks for sharing. Wow. I love, call me crazy, but performing is so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And finding a way for you to perform and also find another passion as well is, I got a big soft spot in my heart for that. To me, that looks like us auditioning in New York and also doing our podcast as a job. You know what I mean? Like that's such a cool thing. And to hear that someone is like still making music, still doing what they love, also found another thing. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, that's what life is about. Dog, that's awesome.
Dang.
Wow. Dang, Double Daddy, we definitely did. Wow.
Wait, what is that?
Oh my gosh, I'll give you a minute.
Dang.
For hundreds of years. And you didn't listen again and again and again.
Oh my gosh, welcome to hell. Yes. Now we're all in here. Okay.
Doom, doom, doom.
Best part, worst part.
Boom.
What's your best part?
Ah! Where do I begin? These two episodes were so, so good. Like, these two episodes are elevated television. Mm-hmm. I just think, woof, I can't even begin to tell you how much I love these two episodes. I think I'm going to pick just in Fearlessness, the bottom three. Face meltingly good.
Oh my gosh.
But I'm gonna shout out Eileen. I'm gonna shout out Eileen. I think Eileen's was my favorite. I think that was my best part. I think my best like part of the episodes is maybe I don't know. Probably Shanna's good attitude, whatever she was wearing. Because I just think if she was wearing meat for many hours, that's torture. And if she was wearing rubber for many hours, that's torture too. And you know what? Like that's a good constitution on her. And I applaud her, especially because I don't think she gets enough time on this television show.
Yeah.
For how talented she is. What about you? What's your best part?
Truly best number, like besides God, I hope I get it. Like every number is incredible.
So good.
So shoot. I think maybe when I grow up.
Yeah.
It's hard. They're all so good.
So good.
But When I Grow Up is so, so fun.
These two episodes are killer.
Truly. Best part, I mean, those bottom threes in Fearlessness, just like back to back to back. I seriously, those ended and I was like, you can't send any of them home.
I was like, I don't know who's going to. I know. Literally, like, my roommate was like, don't send any of them
like,
home.
Like, why did you waste your no elimination week?
I know.
But a specific moment is Eileen as Madonna opening two cans with her cone boobs.
Totally.
It's very funny.
So good. And she was so innovative about it too. Like they were open before, like when she was just holding them closed. Yeah. A genius.
What's your worst part?
I think probably the interactions between Nikki and Abraham.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Are just like, it's egregious.
Yeah.
We talked on and on about this, so I don't need to say more, but I just think that's not how you talk to someone you're mentoring. I don't think. That's what I think. What is your worst part?
Besides that, I will never get over them slushing these kids so many times they can't breathe and being like, you're going to have to do this if you're on Glee. Yeah. Like, no, you're not. You'll have to take one and then they'll towel you off.
Was Rory or Joe slushied on the show at all?
I don't think so. I don't know.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
I mean, we haven't seen the last of Joe, so it could still be coming.
You're right. You're right.
But Rory's out except for what?
What? Spoiler.
All right. Well, that's Glee Project, Fearlessness, and the other one.
Theatricality.
Theatricality.
Fun episodes.
Very, very, very good episodes. Up next, we are going to be talking about, I literally looked this up before, and then I forgot to, like, memorize it. One of them is romanticality.
It's tenacity and romanticality.
Tenacity and romanticality next Wednesday. If you have thoughts with the Glee Project, send them to us at recoveringgleek@gmail.com.
If you'd like to follow us on the social medias, I really want you to. Please follow us on social medias. I mean, I don't want to sound desperate here, but I really want you to follow us on social media. We're at recoveringgleek_podcast on Instagram and also TikTok, and then our recoveringgleek on Twitter.
And we're posting memes every day on Twitter. We're posting TikToks every day on TikTok. So go check it out.
Yeah.
If you want other people to find our podcast, I heard a rumor that you rated and reviewed it on Apple Podcasts.
I heard a rumor that you also checked out Umbrella Academy. It's really good.
It's so good. All right. Love all of you. Thank you for being here.
For real.
See you same time, same place next Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Here is a kiss on your forehead. Have an awesome rest of your week.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.
Do you remember? You don't, because you don't know shit about the Pussycat Dolls. I do. They had a Search for the Next Pussycat Doll competition, unless I dreamed it. Did I make this up? I haven't thought about this in years.
Pussycat Dolls presents the Search for the Next Doll.
I'm so smart!
2007, ran for 2 seasons.
I'm so smart. Let's watch that one next.
So did they join the Pussycat Doll? They did end up joining.
Yeah.
But then the winner immediately left the group.
Oh, shit. Well, you spoiled it.
The winner went on to join the Pussycat Dolls as the act's 7th number and appeared in the series, but performed with the group only once before opting to go solo. Shoot.
Drama.
Well.
Anyway, y'all, have a good week. Bye.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.